From Gimlet, this is Reply All. I'm Alex Goldman.
And I'm PJ Vogt.
Welcome once again to Yes, Yes, No, the segment on the show where our boss, Alex Bloomberg, delivers tweets to us that he does not understand, and then we explain them to him, and he is by turns delighted or like really angry that he spent the time to get them explained to him.
Angry?
Sometimes he leaves feeling like really sad about them.
I'm right here. You could ask me how I feel.
How do you usually feel?
I usually feel angry and delighted.
What a cocktail of emotion.
So far, he has never given us a tweet that we could not decipher.
Yeah, it's not like Bloomberg's Jason Mantzoukas or anything like that.
Oh, Mantzoukas.
Yeah, we had a special guest comedian, Jason Mantzoukas. We had him in March. He is the only person who's been able to stump us with a yes, yes, no. Alex Bloomberg, you're a little jealous about that, right? You're jealous.
Why would I be jealous of somebody like Jason Mantzoukas, who has, like, there's nothing to be jealous of. Like, I mean, let's be honest, fellas, right? Like, I mean, how many times? He's been on the show once. He got lucky that one time, but nobody can recap like me, right?
Nobody can recap like you.
All right, that's true.
Okay, so here's what I got. This is from Twitter user Anime Dad.
I like it already. Big fan.
The handle is at Zoomy Ramen. Zoomy, Z-O-O-M-Y, Ramen. And the tweet is a picture of, it's like that typical sort of like electoral map. You know, it's that black and white map of the United States with all the states outlined, but the state names aren't there. So it's just like, you know, that map that we've all seen. But instead of all the states being colored either red or blue, most of the states are still white, and just a couple of them have been colored in red or blue, just like a small handful, just like seven. Looks like Minnesota's red, but Michigan's blue.
That's not Michigan. That's Wisconsin, man.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, that's not Michigan. I was like, where's the thumb?
That is the wrong thing to get wrong to Alex Goldman.
So offended.
He's like a single issue voter, and it's just Michigan.
And it's just like whether you have any cultural literacy about Michigan.
All of a
Michigan.
Sudden, I was on the spot. Like, I was like, none of the state names have names. And then I'm like, oh my God, I have to, like, there's 50 of them. I have to just do it just by shape. Anyway, Minnesota and Wisconsin. Minnesota's red, Wisconsin's blue. Okay, so you get the idea, right?
Yes.
It's like all white outline states, just a couple of them red and blue. And then the tweet actually reads, what did it look like if only Tim Buckley voted in the election?
Okay.
And 558 retweets, 834 likes.
Well, obviously.
Thousands of people who are in the know, and I'm not one of them.
Aber was ich noch erzählen wollte, meine Nichte kämpft sich ja ganz schön durchs Studium. Semesterbeitrag, Laptop, Bücher, Software, Handy, Internet. Ey, so ein Master ist echt teuer.
Ach, sag ihr, sie kann sich das zurückholen.
Ja, du meinst von der Steuer absetzen, ne? Aber sie verdient ja nicht.
Egal, Zauberwort Verlustvortrag. Macht sie ganz einfach mit Wieso Steuer. Und wenn sie dann arbeitet, heißt es Katsching.
Das geht?
Safe, Wieso Steuer.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück.
Jetzt kostenlos ausprobieren.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, Frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Tafeltrauben 650 Gramm für nur 2,99 Euro. Oder Kulturheidelbeeren 125 Gramm für nur 1,39 Euro. In deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
So, PJ Vogt, do you understand this tweet?
Halfway.
Okay.
Alex Goldman,
yes.
Do you understand this tweet?
Yes. Alex Bloomberg, do you understand this tweet?
N-O, no.
Hey, Jason Mantzoukas, do you understand this tweet?
What?
I do not. This is a no
for me. I've been set up.
But here's what I did know. I knew that was Wisconsin. Or I knew that was Michigan. God damn it.
Wisconsin.
Bloomberg, come on, man. Don't you know the map?
So a thing we probably should have said is that we hid Jason Mantzoukas in another studio. It's sort of like a Montel thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm your father.
All right. So, PJ, you said you sort of understand this. I'm wondering if you could go ahead and...
go as far as I can go?
And take us to where your comprehension sort of fails you.
Okay. So, there's a guy named Nate Silver.
Maybe you've heard of him.
I know about that.
Nate Silver, or somebody at 538 tweeted out a thing. I think
it was Nate Silver.
It was Nate Silver. Tweeted out this thing where he was like, here's what the electoral map would look like if only women voted. And I think he also tweeted out one that was like, and if only men voted.
Right.
And it was like, overwhelmingly, women are voting for Clinton. Actually, overwhelmingly, like, men are voting for Trump. Or at least that electoral map, like, they would win.
Right.
And so then people thought it would be funny to tweet a lot of other electoral maps. Like, this guy, Leon, tweeted one that was like, here's what it would look like if only Leon voted. And it was just, like, one state going to him as a writing candidate.
There was one that was, here's what the American electoral map would look like if only dogs voted. And it was just a gray map because dogs are colorblind.
Oh, boy.
Somebody tweeted,
that's a good one.
I think Casey Johnson tweeted, like, here's what the electoral map would look like if only people who found these jokes funny voted. And it was just, like, New York voting. But I don't understand anything. Like, I don't understand this. I understand that this is one of those, but I don't understand this. And I don't know who Tim Buckley is. And I thought he
And also, how's popular. Tim Buckley able to vote in all these states? Guys, this is voter fraud.
Yeah. Yeah. How is he able to vote in all these states? And how? And why is he voting both Republican and Democrat?
And who is he?
And what does this mean?
Yes.
Okay.
And how do 560 people know?
I know.
Or, and 838 people, 34 people like.
Well, I think some of those likes are people being like, I think I get it. But I think all the retweets, those people have to know.
It's an aspirational like?
At least some of them. I feel like I've done that like. It's like laughing at a joke you don't get and hoping no one notices.
Really?
Yeah.
You've really done that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait, what's the last tweet you aspirationally liked?
Let me check.
This is really good.
Do you see all the social dynamics you don't have to deal with because you're not on Twitter, Jason?
Ah, this sounds miserable. This frankly sounds miserable.
It's awful.
Okay, do you want to know the last thing I pretended to understand?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, October 15th, which was 3 days ago from when we're recording, I tweeted a tweet that was like, Obama was just like ripping on Trump in this way that was like very stand-up comedy feeling. And I tweeted, Obama's having a lot of fun. I tweeted the video. And then someone retweeted and said, was waiting for the hashtag MNF come on man reference. And here it is, dot, dot, dot. And I was like, yeah, ha ha, favorite that joke.
I have no idea what that means either.
No
what
idea.
What if that was like, what if that was racist or something? What if that like
yeah,
had
seriously.
Some sort of inherent...
What if MNF come on man is like a faction of the Nazi party or something?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let me search it.
That is dangerous, favoring things you don't understand
yeah.
on the internet.
And you're like, thumbs up, bro, you get it.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm also like, the problem is not Twitter. The problem is my broken personality. I feel like a lot of times when I laugh, I'm just saying like, please don't hit me. Uh-huh. And so the favorites are basically the same. It's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I found it on my phone. Hashtag MNF is a football thing?
Oh, boy. Oh, no. This is only going to get more embarrassing for PJ, I fear.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you were like, yeah, go sports, people.
Yeah.
Well, you guys watch Monday night, hashtag Monday night football, so you guys know that they always say, come
MNF.
On, man.
It's a Monday Night Football reference.
MNF. Oh, I get it.
By the way, the idea that MNF is so clearly Monday Night Football and none of us knew it.
I know that
means
our entire...
means we must be on a podcast.
And like our entire audience is like, are you pranking us right now?
People are breaking their computers
yeah, exactly.
over their legs in rage. Right?
You are embarrassing yourselves.
Yeah, all the people who thought we were cool sports guys are really disappointed right now.
Yeah, jokes on you assholes. We're here to talk about Gilmore Girls.
So again, this tweet reads, what did it look like if Tim Buckley voted in the election? And it's a map. And the important thing is not what states are red and what states are blue or even what states are highlighted. The important thing is the pattern that the red and blue states create.
Wait. Okay, so it's like red, blue, red, blue.
Is there a pattern I'm supposed to be discerning?
You're not. You would not know it unless you know what it's referencing. But once you recognize this pattern, you will forever see it on the internet.
Once you recognize, when you say pattern,
it is a visual reference to something else.
Red, red, blue, red, blue.
You're overthinking it.
red, white.
Just let. I should probably just explain.
Wait, hold on. No.
Is it a mouth?
There are red and blues that are together, and then there's a single Idaho red. Are the red and blues together signify something that like is supposed to be like, and now Idaho's all alone?
It is so interesting watching. Like you guys don't have primary information, which will help you understand.
Wait. Is Pennsylvania? I'm sorry, not Pennsylvania. Is Tennessee and Kentucky?
Wow. Wow.
His geography is really bad.
Tennessee and Kentucky.
This is embarrassing.
Is that a mouth?
No.
Oh, okay.
Is it the Windows logo?
Is it the flag of France?
Guys, seriously, without primary information, you just are not going to get this. Okay, so Tim Buckley is this guy who draws an online comic that's called Control-Alt-Delete.
Okay.
And it is like a comic about video games.
Okay.
And the premise of the comic is that there's two guys who sit around and play video games and like make fun of each other. And it's basically like the knockoff version of a much more popular comic called Penny Arcade.
Which is also about two guys who hang around and play video games making fun of each other?
Yes.
Who would want to listen to two guys just making fun of each other?
Yeah, I know. That's it's a terrible premise for anything.
Okay.
So, it's this comic that existed for many, many years. Not particularly funny, but like it just kind of like did its thing.
Is it necessary to know that you don't like it to understand this? Or are you just editorializing about this comic?
And how not funny? Is it like Marmaduke not funny? Or is it like...
Andy Borowitz not funny?
Wizard it's just like
id not funny.
Jason.
I love that we're just taking shots over here. Just taking shots.
It's just, it's important to know that like the internet's opinion of it was generally pretty low.
Okay.
So like an example of a Control-Alt-Delete comic is like Batman throws a batarang at a bad guy and instead of knocking him out, it sticks in his head and kills him. And then Batman kind of makes a whoopsie face. That's a Control-Alt-Delete comic.
Okay.
And so in 2008, the guy who wrote it, Tim Buckley, put out a comic that was just a dramatic, dramatic tone shift.
What happened?
The strip was called Loss, and I will show you guys. It is a 4-panel, wordless comic.
Oh, boy. This is sad.
Go ahead and describe it.
Okay. You said 4-panel comic. First panel, guy walking into emergency room. It's wordless. The whole thing is wordless. Panel two, the receptionist is directing him towards something. Panel three, he's talking to a doctor. The man's expression is consistently like mouth open, furrowed brow, worried. Now he's talking to a doctor and he seems even more worried. And the doctor does not seem reassuring. And then fourth panel, he's standing next to a woman's bed who's sitting on her side crying. And he looks very nervous and upset, right? He looks
yes.
nervous. My assumption on this comic is that she has had a miscarriage.
That is correct.
Wow.
Boom. How's that feel? How about that, Bloomberg? How about that? Boom. I understood that comic. The king of yes, yes, no.
Factually, you're correct. Tonally,
yeah, you're
you might
a little
be off
man.
A little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
So this comic comes along. There's this jarring tone shift that is nothing like the comic that came before it.
So it's like if all of a sudden Marmaduke or something turned into like a real story that you cared about mm-hmm. one day, for one day only.
Right. There were two follow-up strips, which were the main character and all of his friends sitting in the hospital being like, yeah, I'm really sad.
Did he explain what was happening?
He did. He wrote like a sort of personal thing underneath the comic about like, you know, I was in a relationship and I there was a miscarriage. It ended our relationship. And this is like something that felt important to me to get off my chest.
Huh.
So he did these three strips. And then the next strip is like some kids playing Dungeons and Dragons. It goes away. Never to be mentioned again. Comic is silly again. And the internet just found this to be really weird tonally, kind of. And it was just like ripe for making fun of.
Wait, why? It was funny because the man who's not sad was sad? Or it was funny because the man that they make fun of for not being funny was sad?
I get why they're making fun of it.
What? Explain.
Here's this guy who's doing this thing that a lot of people think is like just fine. Nothing fancy, nothing great. And then He breaks format in a very public way that could be construed as self-important to make a statement strip.
Right.
And if it was like, if there was like some precedent for it or some like explanation for it or something like that, like I think people would have probably been okay with it. But there's, because of the way he did it and the way it just sort of dropped in and then went away, there was like a whiff of self-importance or grandiosity to it.
Oh.
And it was, the statement was just sort of like, again, the same kind of fine that the strip was before. So it's like, it's not the most powerful thing that's ever been written about miscarriage. It's not the most. And I mean, it feels like there's a certain, I think the internet hates any whiff of self-importance or like sort of like hypocritical sort of like motivation.
Yeah.
And there's like, there's some of that in there, I feel like.
And the other thing people really didn't like was the idea that this female character was simply used as like emotional motivation for a male character to feel sad.
Right. Yeah.
And then the next two comics are like the guy and his friends talking about how hard it is. You don't get any.
Okay. All right, cool. I'm on board with the cyberbullying. Or at least I can understand it.
Right.
I'm not too sad to proceed.
So once this thing came out, immediately the internet took it and started making fun of it. And they did it by like making just endless parodies of it.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out that this thing is actually pretty easy to parody. All it takes is like you make a 4-panel image and you recreate the way that the characters were standing in the comic. So it's like one person in the first panel, a person talking to the receptionist in the second panel, a person talking to a doctor in the third panel. And in the fourth panel, like someone standing over a bed.
Okay.
Things like that.
It looks nothing like the comic, by the way. Oh, here's one with the Simpsons.
Yeah, like one with stills from the Simpsons.
Got it.
Milhouse is in the role of the woman.
Right.
And poor Milhouse.
I actually feel bad for Tim Buckley because like the thing he was going for, which is making something that's like stark and iconic, also makes it super easy to parody. Because like you can plug in like Bart in a hallway. Bart by a bit, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Because it was simple, it was easier to parody.
Right.
Uh-huh. Anyway.
Okay, so that's where it goes. So then...
I have a guess.
Okay.
And it gets more abstract?
It gets way more abstract.
Okay.
To the point where it's like, rather than having characters in these positions, it's uh-huh. like, as long as they're objects roughly in the correct positions,
uh-huh.
yeah.
then it, like...
Oh, wow, so now I get it.
This, I do love about the internet. How far away can we go from the reference object and still like be tethered to it?
Yeah, because this is just this one is like a 1950s clip art of a person with red hair holding a hot dog in 4 panels,
and the hot dogs are roughly positioned in the shapes in like the locations where the characters would be standing yeah. in the original comic.
And when there's need for one hot dog because everything corresponds to the number of people in the panels.
Yeah. Right.
So there's position one has one hot dog. Oh, wow. This is bananas.
Yeah. So there's like,
it's like, it's crazy.
Wow. There's a great one, which is the Hemingway short story, For Sale Baby Shoes Never Worn.
It's the word for is the first panel. Sale is the second. And then baby shoes never worn. And they're like, the words are written vertically to represent people, except the last word worn, which is written horizontally to represent the person laying down.
Like, it's basically the point where it's 4 panels that can be anything.
It's just as long as they are just roughly in the same position.
Wowee. One of them is just the tubes or the whatever, the pipes from Mario Brothers. Holy shit. What are people up to? This is my problem with the internet. This is like, you've just sent me one thing that is like it represents an appalling amount of work by people to just remake and remake this same joke, which itself is insane.
Yeah, so coming back to the tweet in question, which is a tweet by Anime Dad, also known as Zumi Ramen. It says, what did it look like if only Tim Buckley voted in this election? And there are certain states within the United States that are highlighted either red or blue. And I'm wondering, Alex and Jason, if you can summarize this tweet for us.
I got it now, yes. Jason, you want to do the honors?
Sure. So this, again, Anime Dad, what did it look like if Tim Buckley voted in the election? And then the electoral map is colored in to represent the panels of the lost comic of Tim Buckley's, Alex, will you remind me what it was called?
Control-Alt-Delete.
Control-Alt-Delete. To the lost strip of Control-Alt-Delete, wherein each panel from top right to bottom right would be Idaho is alone because there's one figure in there.
Sit back, Mantzoukas. Let me show you how this is done.
Go. Oh, boy. Wow.
All right. The tweet in question from Anime Dad is we now know to be one more iteration in an 8-year-old internet joke, which started with a comic strip written by Tim Buckley, which is called Control-Alt-Delete. And it's a comic strip about kids who play video games, and it's sort of funny. And then he came out with this strip out of nowhere that was called Loss, and it just deals with, like, somebody walking through the doors of an emergency room, talking to the person at the counter, next panel's talking to the doctor, and then finally arriving at the side of a bed where there's a woman on her side, crying, and it's about a miscarriage. So that, for reasons that are complicated to get into right now, attracted the ire of the internet. The internet began to mock it, and in the way that the internet does, it mocked it first by sort of replacing figures in the boxes of the cartoon. And so the comic strip figures who were there became replaced by other figures, and then it gradually sort of like went further and further and further into abstraction until it reached its sort of logical, absurdist conclusion where it was just all that you had to do to represent this strip was to have one thing and then two things and then two things and then two things arranged differently. And that is what we see in this electoral map, where Idaho is panel one, Wisconsin and Minnesota are panel two, New Mexico and Arizona are panel three, and Tennessee and Kentucky are panel four.
I think we're at yes, 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 yes.
Yes, yes. I think so. Yes.
But seriously, you know, normally after these, I feel sort of gross. And this one, I feel like this is a genius level tweet. It's like about...
You think?
Yeah. Yeah, it's taking these two... he's taking these two sort of like very, very disparate memes, and he's put them together in this very clever way, drawing on vast swaths of arcane knowledge to do so. It's like brilliant literary criticism, or it's like James Joyce, where like the every single word in every single one of his poems is like drawing on this like myth from Greek mythology or this like sort of like thing from history. It's the same thing. It's just like drawing on different sort of storehouses of knowledge.
So I just want to make sure you just compared Anime Dad to James Joyce. That's the world we're living in right now, Blumberg?
Yes.
Cool. Yeah.
Coming up after the break, the triumphant return of 10 Minutes on Craigslist, the segment where we find Craigslist ads we're curious about and go meet the people who posted them. Craigslist, Santa Rosa, California. Lost and found. Post title, Lost Tortoise. Flash has escaped.
Hello?
Reporter Damiano Marchetti.
Hello? How's it going?
Hi.
Hi, I'm Damiano.
Mike, this is Trisha. Hi.
Trisha, really nice to meet you.
Ben.
What's up, Ben? How you doing?
Hand, buddy.
Who got the turtle originally?
My dad's friend from work had two tortoises that had a litter. We got the runt. It was about the size of a quarter.
How old were you?
In 1980, I was 11.
11?
Yeah.
That's a long time to have a pet.
Yeah. Yeah, we're super sad. I hope he finds his way back somehow.
Will you read the first ad that you put up?
Yeah. It's right here. Lost tortoise. Flash has escaped. Last seen near Gregory Court in the Rincon Valley area. If you have seen this large tortoise, we would appreciate his return. He has been our pet for 36 years. He does not come when you call him. Thank you.
What does he look like?
He's about a foot long or maybe 14 inches long, and he's pretty big and heavy. Like, it takes two hands to pick him up.
He's like the color of a stone. And he's large, and he goes faster than you would think.
Trudging along like a miniature dinosaur.
What do you think his personality was?
Oh, he's kind of... Oh, wow. I kind of like this world. You know, I come out, and he's got his neck and going like this, like that. He's kind of jazzy, huh? After sleeping for a long time, I can't believe it. He sleeps for a long time, and then he comes out all ready for the world again, like nothing happened.
Can you show me where he escaped?
Yeah, right around the corner.
Walking into the backyard.
This is like little territory. He gets himself like stuck in the weirdest spots. Like behind there, he'd just be chilling, or behind the wood, or just like stuck somewhere. But mostly, he just like roamed around until we fed him.
What did he eat?
He eats broccoli, radish leaves, rose petals. He likes dandelions. He loves watermelon. Yeah.
He made his way out of the gate. He can really push on it and gets himself out.
He's that strong?
Yeah, he's really persistent.
Are all these scrapings from him?
That's from him.
You could come see what he did to our screen. We call him the screen wrecker. He just gets up against the glass and he just shoves his shell back and forth trying to get into the room because he likes being inside.
It's like completely frayed and ripped away.
Destroyed.
Oh, because he wants to go inside?
Yeah. If he gets inside, he'll find his way into a closet and take a nap, relax a little bit. He sleeps for 9 months out of the year in a box in the garage.
Really?
Yeah.
He hibernates. And he has quite a personality. He's like one of those always greener on the other side people.
He wants to always go somewhere else, it seems like. We think he's looking for a girlfriend. He's 36 and he's never had a girlfriend.
So Mike just told me something a little crazy, which is that a couple of days ago, the mailman called them and was like, I think I found your tortoise. So they went to look. The mailman pulls out a tortoise and it's not their tortoise. It's like somebody else's lost tortoise. And so now they have that person's tortoise.
So we took that tortoise just because we didn't want to, like, we wanted to keep it safe until we found that person's owner. So there's like multiple people out there with lost tortoises, apparently. So the last one we posted 2 days ago was that we lost our tortoise, and in the process of looking for him, we found someone else's lost tortoise, which is too weird. So if you live in Rincon Valley and if you've lost a tortoise, contact us. This one may be yours.
No one's gotten back to you.
No one's gotten back to us yet.
The mailman said he found it by the street, but that was right by a couple of houses. We should probably go ask, like, around there.
Okay, we just got to where the mailman found the tortoise, and there's, like, this house right here. We're going to go knock on the door and see if they know anything about it.
Hello?
Oh, hello.
Hi. Hi. I'm a reporter, and I'm trying to help this family because we found a tortoise here on the corner of your road. Oh. And we were wondering if it was your tortoise, if you knew anything about it.
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I wonder how she got here. Maybe she's somebody's pet, maybe.
That's what we were thinking.
The people across the street, they have cats and chickens. Well, you do. I don't know what you want to do, but it's mine.
It's not yours. Okay.
No.
Well, we were just checking. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah, okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay.
Gazebo.
Benny, what are we going to do right now?
We're going to drive to reptile rescue thing and drop off the tortoise and talk to him, the guy out there.
Cool.
And stuff.
Just got to the Sonoma County Reptile Center here to drop off the tortoise that the family found and to see if they know anything about Flash, their tortoise. Okay.
How's it going? My name's Amiano.
Hi, I'm Al.
What was your name?
I'm Al Wolf. I'm the director of Sonoma County Reptile Rescue. We have about 200 snakes here. We have about 40 tortoises, many turtles, a bunch of lizards, a bunch of other critters. And like in the bucket I just brought, 3 more rattlesnakes. Okay. Yeah, and that's 5 for the day.
What do you do with them?
We let them go at people's houses that ask questions. Yeah. And if you get bit, go to the hospital. I mean, yeah, it happens to me occasionally.
Before?
13 times. I hate to count it, but you do.
Follow through my zoo here.
We're walking to the back of the reptile center.
This whole yard is set up for tortoises, okay?
Hey, little guy.
This is set up for box turtles, Russian tortoises, and Greek tortoises. There's 2 box turtles right there, a box turtle there, a Greek tortoise over there. There'll be probably, I think, 47 tortoises just in this pen.
And you live here.
And I live here too, yeah. People think it's paradise, but do you think having 12 kids is paradise? I don't know. I have hundreds of kids. It's tough. I get up in the morning, start feeding. I come home, like I'll be feeding mice and stuff to all the snakes tonight. You know, we have thawed out frozen mice. So all they get fed, and then tomorrow anything left over gets fed to the box turtles and the water turtles. They get all the extra thawed out frozen mice. So they're meat eaters.
So right now, Trisha is taking out the tortoise to show Al.
It's a Russian tortoise and it's a boy tortoise.
Okay, because of the tail?
Yeah. The long tail is the boy, the short little button tail is a girl. The Russian tortoises, they're from what we call all the Stan states, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Afghanistan. People get them pets, they put them in the backyard, not realizing they climb really well, and they dig really well. Mm-hmm. Out they go, and that's it.
So I posted online that I brought the tortoise here,
good.
So hopefully somebody will
call. Get the call.
And, yeah. So what are the prospects for our tortoise?
Well, again, it's going to live as long as a person. Oh, you'll find
lost.
It. In your neighborhood, there's a good chance you've walked by your tortoise 5 times already. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Makes you feel that way. But that they're designed to hide. I mean, we had one drive down off Robler Road, and I saw this lost tortoise sign, desert tortoise. And I went, And I saw it up there for like 6-8 weeks. And finally, I get a call from Blank Road, which is just over the hill. And it's a desert tortoise. Oh, they were tickled pink. And it had been gone for about 3 months.
So you say everyone gets their tortoises back for the most part?
I would say about 95%.
How's it going?
Hi.
I'm trying to help your neighbors find their tortoise, their lost tortoise. You might know
about
it.
Oh, yeah. Come on through. It's kind of messy.
Well, it doesn't look like he's here, does it? What do you think?
Well, it depends, because most of the time when he escapes, he goes down to the end of the
down
court. So he probably is like, oh, that's where I usually go. Why don't I go a different way this time?
Under the big, like, under this tree and under the grapes.
Hello?
Hello?
How's it going? I'm trying to find, help your neighbors find their lost tortoise.
Last night, Sarah said he saw a cat gathering with, like, 9 cats just in a circle. Probably, like, an oddly shaped circle.
Flash.
I wonder. We thought maybe he went down the gutter there. But we looked. And
Flash the tortoise has been missing since September 8th. He's brownish-green and weighs between 8 and 10 pounds. He has a scratch on his shell and is missing a toe on one of his front feet. He was last seen near Gregory Court in the Rincon Valley area. If you have any information about Flash's whereabouts, please email tortoise@gimletmedia.com. Reply All is hosted by me, PJ Vogt, and Alex Goldman. We were produced by Shruti Pinnamaneni, Fia Benin, Chloe Prasinos, and Damiano Marchetti. Our executive producer is Tim Howard. We were edited by Peter Clowney. Production assistance from Thane Fay. We were mixed by Rick Kwan. Matt Lieber is Money You Find in a Winter Coat. Special thanks to Kevin DeKiros at the Smithsonian Museum of Natural History. He helped us fact check some of our tortoise facts. And special thanks to Tom Cody. Our theme song is by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our ad music is by Build Buildings. You can listen to the show however you would like to listen to the show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Did you ever hear him knocking against the fence?
Welcome to the Reply All Mini Mall.
Live from the Gimlet Media Complex in beautiful town, Manown Town. It's Goldman and Vogt, one night only, together at last.
Hello?